Hey guys, all the adults, did you get your candy? No? No, you didn't. All right, I might have to do some miracle here and feed all of you candies this morning, right? Instead of the fish and bread. What a great, great day. So we want to talk about the greatest comeback today. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Mark chapter 16. And also at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Many of you that grew up in a church, that grew up in a Christian family, this story is not new to you. But today, in our church, we have a people of different faith. We have Hindus, we have Jew, we have Muslim, we have people that don't follow the Lord, that are not Christian, but they have come to have community and fellowship with us. So you are welcome here, and we hope that you can hear the Christian faith story and open your heart and see what the Spirit of God has prepared for you today. So thank you for coming. Many times when you come to church, you think that, oh, these are only Christians here. That's not true. There are non-Christians, people of different faith that are here. And allow them to experience God's love and joy in our midst. So that's what I want to say this morning on Easter Sunday. In Mark 16, he said, the Word of God says, he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified, and he is risen, and he is not here. See the place where they laid him." Because we're talking about greatest comeback. Did you guys enjoy the Super Bowl last time, February, at our church? Yeah? Yes. Awesome. Awesome to Jerry and Darren and Greg and others who put that. And it was a great match, because at one point I was thinking, okay, it's done, I'm going to go. Atlanta Falcons, Super Bowl winners. Well, that wasn't true, right? I mean, we had very few Patriots fans at our church out of that, I don't know, 200 people or close to 200 people. There was one table that was Patriots fan. And every time Atlanta Falcons scored, yeah, whoa, high five, and they just sat there quietly, right? But in the last 2 minutes or so, what happened? They were sounding like 1,000 people there, you know, the 5-6 people looking at us, and they won. And they won. That was one of the great comeback, I guess. But I want to talk about comebacks that are meaningful to you and to me. And as I share my story, I hope you can relate some of your comeback. I remember last summer, weather was nice, and at the Levi Stadium nearby there, there is a soccer for kids, a soccer field there. And my son had tournament with one of the other team, and the parents are there, and we're watching, you know. We're like, "Come on, kid, you can do it. You know, you're going to win today," and we're all excited. Well, the other team scored a quick goal. And I looked at the parents and said, "Don't worry, they'll come back, you know." And then another goal, right? And then another goal, three goals already before the first half. And he was like already given up. And then they scored another goal, four goals in the first half. And I looked to that parent and I said, "Actually, the match is much closer than what the score say, you know," because I was looking at how they were playing. Because some of the goals, even though if the goalkeeper was good, they wouldn't be able to save it because they're short. You know, it goes over them, and it's not a reflection on the games. And he looked at me like I was crazy. Four goals, yeah, you know. And then second half start, I say, "Come on, guys, you can do it." And they got an early quick goal, my son's team. Say, "Yes, yeah, come back." And say, he was saying, "Oh, they got a consolation goal, right? That's good. At least they got a con." But I'm feeling it here. And then they got a second goal, right? Now the players are getting to feel it. And they got the third goal. Now they're really feeling it, right? Even the parents are moving on the fence. They're feeling fourth goal. Parents went crazy, right? Yeah, woo, wow. And then the fifth goal. Oh, my. They were like, "Oh, wow." and then the sixth goal. They scored six goals in the second half. As a dad, I shared that joy with my son in that comeback. But today, when we talk about comeback, it's much greater than that. It's about life. When I went to City Team with my wife, I walked in there, and there were like women, right? Because City Team, women's ministry, all women. Everywhere I look around, there were just women staring at me. I'm like, whoa, I'm glad my wife came. I mean, when I was younger, right? I'm still young, by the way. But when I was younger, women everywhere would be like, yeah, right? No, not anymore. I was so like, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? I mean, there are like 100 eyes looking at me. I don't know. I look at my wife and say, thank you, wife, for coming with me. And I shared the gospel that I want to share today. Why we celebrate Easter. And I shared the gospel to them. And they started asking questions. These women are on the path to resurrection. Right? This is a comeback from homelessness, addiction, emotional and physical trauma, beaten by their boyfriends and husbands. They have been out on the street, discarded. That's one of the gals said, thank you for coming. You make me feel special because I felt I was discarded, like a garbage. Like a garbage on the street, I felt like I was discarded. We share, and they ask all kinds of questions. And then at the end of it, I said, who wants to make a new start and journey with the Lord? And there were five women that raised their hand. And then they asked about baby dedication. We want you to pray for our children because we don't want our children to walk the same path we have walked. We want them to walk on a different path. So now we have 11 women coming back from addiction, homelessness, physical, emotional trauma, and 8 babies that are going to be dedicated and prayed for by our church. April 21st, 1 p.m. I would like you to come and pray, look into their eyes, and say, we are with you in this. Can you do that? That is the resurrection story. That is the resurrection story. We had the breakfast and the egg hunt, which is epic, which is delicious. Resurrection is more than that. I've been praying for this day. I've been praying for this day, and I hope that you can feel what I am about to share from the Word of God. Because it's about my own resurrection. It's about my own comeback. I was walking through this journey and said, Lord, I also want to make a comeback. Okay, I'm a pastor of this church. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. Like many of you said, I was perfect. That's not true. So I was praying for my own comeback. And it took me back to when I was young. And how do you make a comeback in your life? With all the crazy things that happens in your life, busyness, things that are piling up, you may not be centered, you're not walking your life in balance. There are some things that you feel is not right, and you can't point it. You can't tell what it is, but something is not making you move forward. Something is not making you progress and go forward. And I say, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. I need resurrection. I need to make a comeback. And he said, what do you do when you needed a comeback? What have you done in the past? And I have always gone. I remember when I was young, during this holy season, the Passion Week is a time of meditation, fasting, and prayer. And I have gone to the mountain top and fast and prayed and spent time with the Lord. The Lord took me there. If you want to make a comeback, then you go to the Word. You pray, you meditate. And so this past week, especially starting Thursday, I've been spending time on the Word and praying and focusing on God and not on food. Food had become a distraction for me, and I had taken out food, spending time on the Word and praying. I'm not saying this to let you know I'm a spiritual person, that I've fasted and prayed until today. That's not the point. The point is I wanted to make a comeback in my life. And I had to go back to basics. I had to go back to basics to make a comeback in my life. If you're depressed, you have anxiety, works are piling up, life is just falling left and right, things are not just going as you plan, but you want to make a comeback, what do you do? Go back to basics. Resurrection is the basic thing. It's the origin. It's the foundation for us to make a comeback in our lives. You know, three things that I learned in this journey. Three things that we need to know to make a comeback in our lives. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. You know? I want to put this together and talk about these three things to make a comeback here. You see, early in the morning on Easter Sunday this morning, three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary and Salome, they went to the tomb. They went to the tomb. They're going out early in the morning. John says that it was still dark when they were going out. In Friday, Good Friday, Saturday, it's the dark soul of the night. How many of you have walked the dark soul of the night? Have you been afraid? Have you been scared? Have you been helpless and hopeless in your life? You see, the dark soul of the night, it's scary, it's an uncomfortable place. But the dark soul of the night is necessary for us to make an advance in our life, to make a higher consciousness in our life. It takes you to a higher place, to advance from where you are, from the known to unknown, from tangible into mysterious things. It's the dark night of the soul that we must go through. We must linger. We must be patient. We must endure and see where it takes us, because it is necessary for growth. Many people have gone through the dark soul of the night. Saint John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, Mother Teresa herself, they have questioned about the existence of God. They have questioned about the purpose of their lives. They have questioned, why do I exist? Why do I live? This is the dark soul of the night. This is like Good Friday. This is like being buried in the tomb in the dark. But we go through these things and endure, because hoping that there is a higher consciousness, there is an advancement out of this darkness, that we can come into the light. We don't know when or how. And if some of you are going through the dark soul of the night today, I encourage you to stay there, linger there. Do not be afraid. Do not be scared. Why? Why this is necessary? Because it will shape your character. It will shape the person that you ought to be. It will shape your heart after the heart of God. When the three women were going, they were in the dark night of the soul. They were saying, who will roll the stone? Who will roll the stone away from the door in the tomb? You know, they say that the stone was about 1 foot thick, you know, 5 to 6 feet diameter. How are they going to roll it? How are they going to roll it? They went anyway. But their eyes were not focused up. They were looking into their anxiety. They were looking into their darkness. They were looking into their hopelessness, faithlessness. And they have almost given up. They were faced with impossibility. And they were walking like person that have given up. They was not ready to make a comeback. They had forgotten that Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. They were worried about who will open the door. But Jesus said, I am the door. You can come through into the kingdom of God through me. The door is open. You pass through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will walk with you. But they have forgotten what the Lord Jesus has said, because their impossibility, their troubles and worries have taken over them. My friends, do not stop trying because the problem is too big. Keep going in the face of insurmountable problem. Comeback begins when we start facing the problem. See, the great thing about these women, even though they feel like they have given up, they did not stop going. Even though they knew that they can't roll the stone, what did they do? They didn't stay at home and say, oh, there's nobody to take care of the stone. We have big stone problem. We're not going to go. Right? No, they went. They still went even when they knew that they couldn't roll the stone. I mean, I could hardly push this by myself. Not only the stone, there were Roman soldiers that were guarding the tomb. How are they going to take care of that? But you see, they went. They didn't stop. They keep going. They see the problem, but they keep going. You know? And this is symbolic of how people were living at that time. Because the Romans says that it was Pax Romana, right? Many of you know Latin. This means Roman peace. Pax Romana means Roman peace. A little bit of history. So the Roman peace started with Octavius. Remember when Julius Caesar was assassinated by Brutus, Cassius, and others? They came together and they assassinated him. Octavius is the adopted son of Julius Caesar. And at that time, Mark Antony and Lepidus, they were the one that was probably going to take over Julius Caesar. Well, it didn't happen that way because Octavius went to the battle with Lepidus and then defeated him. Mark Antony was so much in love with the bewitching Egyptian princess, Cleopatra. So much in love, right? And maybe he was captivated by her that he was not giving time for his war. Well, Octavius went, defeated the army, the navy, and Cleopatra and Mark Antony committed suicide. Since that time, Octavius laid the foundation for Pax Romana. Why am I saying this? Is because it's very important, right? I'm coming to it. And at that time, after him, for 200 years, there was peace and economic prosperity in Roman Empire. That's the Pax Romana for 200 years. Jesus came during that time. At that time, what was the maxim? What was the word that the world know? All roads lead to? Thank you for saying it very gently. All roads lead to Rome. Rome has provided peace and prosperity, but the peace and prosperity was built on what? On subjugating, killing, and taking out other people. Eh? On taking the rights of other people, ruling every nation state that they go, they capture them and rule them. So the peace and prosperity that they offered to them was taking away their rights, taking away their freedom. They suppressed. But when Jesus came, what did he do? He gave his life. He did not take away their life. He gave his life to them and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? I am the way. See, all roads lead to Rome. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. These words that he spoke are not by accident. He came at the time when Rome was ruling the world, when they were saying, we are the way. And Christ said, no, I am the way. And the peace that I give to you is not from this world. It is out of this world. It is not economic peace. It is not economic prosperity. But it is peace within us. And this is a clash of two kingdoms. This is the clash of two kingdoms. The Roman kingdom was built on the prosperity of other people. That the subjects were burdened. And the victors are the one that is prosperous. In Christ's kingdom, he gave his life to Christ. He sacrificed his life for us. And his kingdom was about peace within us. Look at us today, in America today, right? This is like peace and prosperity. This is the best country in the world. We have relative peace and economic prosperity like no other country, like no other nation. If you talk about, well, the best place to be on earth, it will be America, right? It will be America. That should give us peace, isn't it? That should give us contentment. But why are you not content? Why you don't have peace? Ask those questions. You have everything. You have everything you need, but you're looking for the higher consciousness. You want to come out from the dark night of the soul, and you're looking for the path, or you don't know where the path is. I'm telling you this morning that the path to resurrection is through Christ. The path to your own personal resurrection is through Christ. The path to make a personal comeback is through Christ. So in Corinthians, when Paul was there, he said, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection? Okay? So the first problem was, we had the stone problem. Who's going to roll away the stone? The second one is, there is no resurrection. I'm not so much going to talk about or defend about resurrection. I'll say a little bit, okay? I read a lot of Josephus because I was a historian before I became a pastor. Now, Josephus is a Jewish historian who was retired in Rome. He wrote the book Jewish Wars and Antiquities, which are respected by scholars. Now, if people say, if you honestly research on the historicity of Jesus Christ, as with an open mind, majority or all of them, but I would say 99% of them, have come to the point to know that the historicity and the historical figure of Jesus is real. They have no, they don't argue on that. Okay? That is the conclusion. Here I talk about Josephus. So Josephus in Antiquities mentioned about Christ, about Jesus Christ. This is a non-Christian writing about Christ, and this is what he said. This is an Arabic and Greek translation from Antiquities. So Greek says, all right, I will read it for you. About this time there lived Jesus, wise men. And in Arabic, at this time, there was a wise man who was called Jesus. Because Arabic, they copied it from Greek letter. For he was, and many people from among the Jews and other nations became his disciples. Pilate condemned him and crucified to die, and those who had become his disciples did not abandon his discipleship. They reported that he appeared to them after his crucifixion, that he was alive accordingly. He was perhaps the Messiah concerning whom the prophets have recounted wonder. And the tribes of the Christian, so called after him, has still to this day not disappeared. This is the historian writing about Christ at that time, in the time of Christ. Paul wrote to the Corinthians that it was Mary Magdalene that saw the resurrected Christ. The 12 apostles saw the resurrected Christ. There were over 500 people at one time that saw the resurrected Christ. I was the one also that saw the resurrected Christ. He made that argument. But let's leave aside that. Let's talk about us. Let's talk about what does resurrection mean to you. Okay? Because you and I have not seen Christ. Anyone have seen Christ this morning? You have met him face to face? No? Okay, we're good then, right? Okay, but how do I know that there is a resurrection? I don't know that Christ. I haven't seen Christ. I can tell you that. But this is how I experienced resurrection. When I came here on Friday, there were like 9 stations. Each station you go and pray. We came to the cross. And what shall we ask for forgiveness? My daughter, my son, they were trying to write down their sins, nail it on the cross. And I sat down on the floor. And at that time, in my heart, as we pray for forgiveness and look at one another, in my heart, there was an overwhelming sense of, I need to ask my wife forgiveness. I need to ask my children forgiveness for not being a good husband, for not being a good father. You know, I need to keep working on this. That's how I experience resurrection. The desire to be a better person. The desire to be a better husband. The desire to be a better father. And all the mistakes that you make are coming right at you when you're sitting there on the floor with your kids, looking at the cross and what he has done for you. That's how I experience resurrection. You know? I experience resurrection in the desire to forgive other people. Why should we forgive people? If people do wrong thing to you, why should you forgive people? They did wrong to you. That's not on you. You shouldn't have to forgive. That is not our nature. But the desire to forgive other people when they do wrong things to you, when they swing at you, right? And just barely miss you. When they say nasty things at you, what make you desire to forgive them? I experience resurrection in those things. I experience resurrection in the desire to be a good person, to be compassionate to the poor and to serve others. People say Christ is not the problem. Christians are. So it's not the stone. Right? The problem is not resurrection. The problem is with you and I. I was watching Pope Francis washing the feet of the people on Friday. And you know who were the people? They were Hindus, Muslim, Catholic, Jews, other people. They were all there, refugees, immigrants. And as he goes to wash their feet, wipe their feet and kiss their feet, there were tears rolling everywhere. Whether he was a Hindu or a Muslim, a refugee, immigrant, they were all crying. As he kissed their feet, wiped their feet, they were all crying. And I said, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. This is Christ. But that's not how people see us as Christians. What do they see? We are hypocritical. We are judgmental, right? We have the attitude of better than them. We have all the things right, okay? We have hold it together and we look down on people. You know? It is true. It is true. That is the truth. They have never seen you wash their feet. They have never seen you wipe their feet. They have never seen you kiss their feet. But you have used Bible as a weapon. You have weaponized Bible in your hand and ready to hammer them every opportunity that you get. We terrorize other people with hell. You know? We terrorize them. We have weaponized Bible. We terrorize people with hell. We judge them. We look down on them. We think they are no good. They are lost. No wonder Christians are the problem. See, Christ is not the problem. Resurrection is not the problem. But we are the problem. So this Easter, what should we do? Go gather more eggs? Plan for the next breakfast? What are we going to do? We go back to basics. And what is that? Selflessly serving other people. Isn't that what they did? They selflessly serve other people. They had a sacrificial giving. There was simplicity of their heart, and they break bread together, and there was joy. And they love one another, that other people will know that they're followers of Jesus Christ. Isn't that where we need to go back this Easter? If we are the problem. If other people cannot see Christ. And those of you that are non-Christian this morning, people of different faith, I'm telling you, do not look at us. If you're looking at us to find God, I can guarantee you 100% right now that you will not find Him. I'm telling you. But you look at God. You follow Jesus. And you see where He will lead you. Okay? If you have not tried, just try Him and see where He will take you. Because all religion, Hindu, Muslim, Jew, okay, Confucius, Taoism, Eastern religion, we all teach about being good to others. Right? So even Christianity teaches that. So if you're a good Christian, I'm telling you that you can be a good Hindu, you can be a good Buddhist, because it's about humanity, doing good things. The only difference about Christianity is that all roads do not lead to Rome. All roads do not lead to one destination. We are saying what Christ said, that, okay, I came to die for you. I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. So if you pass through me, we will lead you to the right place. That's what Christianity taught about. That's what Christ said. So, for example, if that was true, right? If that was true, then you have everything to lose. But let's say that is not true. You have nothing to lose because you'll still be a good person. You will have good karma following you, because you have done good to other people. But if that statement was true, you will lose everything. I want you to try that out this Easter. I believe in the resurrection because of that. Because of how God changed my life. How God changed a selfish person that's only after his interest to care about other people, to pray for other people, to help other people. That's the reason why I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Resurrection is a revolution. As the worship team comes up, it's not a rebellion, but it's redemption. Revolution in the sense that it's not an insurrection, but it's incarnational. You can become what God wants you to be as a person. So today we celebrate the greatest comeback. But if you want to begin the journey with us, following now and in the coming days, we have a series called Game Changer. And we're going to start that very soon, Game Changer. How to keep your winning streak alive. We want to talk about that. How to keep your winning streak alive. And how can God help us? Can we just take a moment to pray and meditate? If you feel comfortable, can you close your eyes and just meditate? Just for briefly. How many of you are going through the dark soul of the night? There was Friday, very dark. But I tell you, Sunday came. There was Friday, but Sunday came. There was death, but life came. And if you feel like if you feel like you need God's help to make a comeback, whether it's in your business, in your personal life, with your kids, I don't know, you name it. He rolled the stone. You can go through the deep, dark tomb and walk out with Christ in the light. And I want to give you that. I want to give that time to you, to offer you that today. Many of you I may not see again after today. But I want you to go with the power of the resurrection that will keep resurrecting you and change your life. I know in my spirit, I feel like many of us need prayer. I'm feeling it that many of us are carrying this load of stone. It's just too heavy. We don't know how to let it go. But Jesus said, give it to me. I will carry your load. And if you want to do that, if you want to start a comeback in your life today, let's do something a little different. Because Christ did all kinds of crazy things that were not so popular with people. But He did it because He loves us. And so let's do something different today. If you feel the weight of the world on your shoulder, if you're walking through the dark night of the soul, and there's darkness, heaviness, burden, and you have no answer, but you still want to make a comeback in your life with Christ, I want you to give that opportunity. And I want to pray for you. This is just between you and God. So don't look at anybody. But so if you want to do that, can you just quickly raise your hand and I'll pray with you? If you want, yes, I see that hand. Yes. If you want to make a comeback, yes. Yes, I see your hand. This is between you and God. He will carry your load for you. He will walk in that darkness with you. Just linger there and be patient. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He is the one who raised from the dead. I just give one more opportunity. If you want to let Christ carry your load and start making a comeback, can I see your hand just quickly so I can pray for you? Yes, I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. That's between you and God. Yes, I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. But even more than that, God sees you. He will roll the stone away for you. He will take you through the valley of death and darkness and take you out into His marvelous light. And know today that some of you, many of you that raised your hand, you are more than conquerors. You are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And the Word of God says, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is on your side, if God is on your side, even the world cannot come after you. Even the world cannot come after you. You have all the protection that you need from Christ Jesus. But stay. Stay with Him. Walk with Him to make a comeback. And you will see. You will see Him resurrecting you. Every day, every day. Live every day, live every day. One day is enough. And the resurrected Lord will keep resurrecting in us. Oh, let's give a hand to the resurrected Lord. Let's be on our feet. Let's praise the Lord.